Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio, and we have Todd Copperdahl, incumbent mayor for the City of Richland Center, with us today. He's requested time. Karen Tepley, who is a candidate for mayor, was on our program last week. Todd, good to see you again. Good morning.
Phil, it's great to be back on the show. Thanks for having me down.
So it is getting down there. April 2nd seemed a long ways off, but are you excited about this upcoming election?
Absolutely. Yep, we're zeroing in now, not many days left. It's an exciting time. The election process is always invigorating. Meeting with the people and talking to them and hearing their concerns, it's actually a lot of fun if you're built for it, and I've really enjoyed the process.
So you're running again? You're not shying away from office? What about the previous 4 years? Have they gone pretty well for you, do you think?
They have. It's been a wild time to be mayor, if you think about it. I was first elected in April of 2020, which was the beginning stages of COVID. So I walked into the start of a pandemic, which this country had not faced in 100 years, and I was the new mayor with no one around to really get good advice from. I called medical people, insurance people, law enforcement, state senators, everybody I could think of, and every single one of them said, I don't know, Todd, I've never had to do this before. So my first term had the turmoil COVID brought, and I had to work through that. And then in the second term, you know, we worked through some challenges as well, basically stemming from the pandemic and what it had done to costs to do anything, as everyone's aware of. And nonetheless, through all of that, we've had a very productive 4 years, obvious growth in the city, and I'm very proud and excited about all the things we've done.
Things seem to be back to normal then after COVID and everything.
Finally, yes, it feels like work days are normal days. Yeah, we're still, just like everyone is with their household budget, we're still dealing with what inflation has done and what interest rates have done and so on like that. But things are settling down and there are multiple projects going on in town. You can see, we can feel the interest again from, say, builders and some corporate retailers that are finally looking to expand again now and get back into that mode, which I think is a good thing for our community.
What are you most proud of from your 4 years previous year?
That's a great question. I've been asked that several times, and I don't think there's one thing. One is keeping my head and making good choices during the chaos of COVID, which I was able to do and lead our city government through a time no one could have been prepared for. The thing that I think touches me the most that we've gotten done is the dialysis center downtown. And the reason for that, it just happened again. I had a gentleman who lives in town. I didn't know him. And he saw me and he actually invited me into his house and had me sit with him in his kitchen at his table and just introduced himself and told me how long he'd lived in the house and asked me a little bit about my personal history. And then he said, well, the reason I wanted you in here is to tell you that I've just been told I need dialysis treatment, and Mayor, I would have had to drive to Viroqua or La Crosse 3 days a week and go through what that treatment does to you, and I don't have to. I'll just drive to Orange Street, and I wanted to personally thank you and everyone else involved for getting that done. And that's happened several times, more than once, to someone I've known basically my whole life, and they'll sometimes be teary-eyed and hugging me, and man, does that hit me. It gives me goosebumps, you know, that's why you run for mayor, you know, to get things like that, to impact your hometown. I mean, I'm from here, Phil. This place is imprinted in my identity, and when people that you grew up with, that you met when you were five, get a critical healthcare resource right downtown because of work that you helped complete, and they didn't have to drive Wisconsin roads in the winter and wear themselves out, how can you not feel that?
As you look ahead, there are some things to be optimistic about. I guess likewise, what are some things you're looking forward to if you're elected mayor on April 2nd?
Well, the fun part is there's a lot of them, and that's why I ran again. I gave a lot of thought to this back in the fall and the late summer. You know, I've been 2 terms, 4 years, been through a lot like every mayor is. And did I want to attempt to run again? Do I want to go through the process again and serve 2 more years? And what happened is almost on cue, as I was going through the thoughts, I got a phone call from the gentleman who was the original builder at Panorama Estates Apartments in town, which is 45 units over there across from the high school on 14 West. And his original developer's agreement called for 2 more buildings, one of which should be there by now, and the other had several years to go before it needed to be built. And with the run-up in costs and then the run-up in borrowing costs to get money, They just weren't able to pull the capital together, and that wasn't intentional, of course. It was reality, and they were struggling to figure out how to do this. And of course, we need the apartments very badly, and people in the public want to know, you know, where are those coming? And he calls and says, I need you to meet me in Wisconsin Dells tomorrow night. I've got new investors who are builders and building engineers, and they want to meet you. If you'll come over to the Dells, we're going to show you some apartment buildings that were just completed that are now renting and introduce you to the gentleman behind the group that did it. So I did that. I invited Jason Glassbrenner to come with me and found out that was the Glassbrenner's wedding anniversary. So I told him, well, don't get in trouble at home. I went over there and I met a man named Jonathan King, who is the leader, the head of this group of builders who have extensive experience with rental properties and building and engineering buildings. And he gave me a tour of this beautiful new apartment building with these great apartments and explained in detail to me everything, why the doors are placed exactly where they are, how each balcony, each apartment is a little terrace. You can stand on it and not see your neighbors and feel like you're completely secluded and all of this stuff. And he told me that they wanted to come over here and build those two buildings, but only if they could build them at the same time, which would not only get us 92 new apartments, but we wouldn't wait for one of those buildings. They'd build them in the same year. And he pitched me as what he did. Do you think the city would want to work with us? And I said, well, the first thing you're going to need to do is come to Richland Center and meet our city council and explain all of this to them. But I took a lot of photos of those apartments, sent them back to our people. He did come and meet the council, and subsequently through a lot of give and take, back and forth, financial review, the council has now approved the plan to get 92 apartments built here to break ground some point in this spring. And our city attorney is working through the drafting process of the developer's agreement. And as soon as that is done, the expectation is the city council will approve that, and those apartments will get done. And that's a project that's been many years in the making. So I thought, wow, I mean, that took the winter to get done, but it's getting done, and it just lit me up. Look at this, impact again, 92 apartments coming on a deal that's just great for the city. The builder's taking the risk in the deal, to be honest. And then on cue, another couple got in touch. They bought some land, and they want to build 23 houses in town, single-family houses that we need so badly. And I thought, well, I had a great conversation with them. That's in the works. And then one at a time, two significant retailers called and said, you know, we're kind of looking at Richland Center and we see it in a different light. We see the difference in the culture there. We feel it. And we might want to come to town. And I thought, well, I can't leave now. I mean, there's 1, 2, 3, 4 big impactful projects coming that I've been involved in. Heavily involved in, and I thought this is not the time to just walk away and say, well, I did 4 years, it's someone else's turn. It's time to finish the work, because it took a long time and a lot of effort to convince builders, to convince corporate America that Richland Center was serious now about economic development and growth. And there has been a culture change at City Hall, and we are pursuing opportunities, and they believe it now, and we're working through the process of getting more of these done. And I said, I need to be part of that. So I decided to run again and, you know, work on these. And the Panorama one, honestly, has come faster than I thought and is likely to go, I would say, May or June, assuming they can get all their equipment here and supplies to hit that timeline. I think that's when they're going to break ground. And I'm excited by all that, because it's been a great deal of behind-the-scenes work to get these projects in a position to go.
What does that do in terms of jobs in the area? You had that many apartments. You had the possibility of that many houses. That has to help the workforce greatly, doesn't it?
It does, and it will. It will bring, first of all, to start with, during the construction process, I mean, you talk about building two big apartment buildings that each have 46 units. How many construction workers do you think will be here all summer? And they're going to need, they'll be buying things, they'll be doing things. So we'll get that. And then when the people move in, I'm just assuming a number here, but let's say two people live in each apartment. That's about 185 people added to the population of Richland Center. Phil, in your life, how many times has Richland Center grown 185 people in one move?
Not often.
Yes, not correct. Correct. And so you see the potential, right? And then you put up 23 houses, and that's going to be over a process of years. That can't happen all in one move, but over the process of time, getting 23 homes in here, you could use the same small number, and that number could be bigger. But just even say two people in a house, that's 46 more people. Now you're at 185 over there, 46 over there. That's 230 new people. And in my life, Richland Center hasn't added that many new people. And that's just from those two projects. So what you just did, you grew the tax base a bunch because you have new taxable structures. You grew the population. That's more customers for our local businesses. That's potentially more workers for our local businesses. Who's to say if one of them won't be a physician for our hospital that moves in, or the teacher that teaches your kids something they were struggling to learn, or maybe your new best friend that came to town. And you can't do that without those buildings, and we're getting them now. And it's been a lot of work, and a lot of us are involved in it. Our city employees, our city council, our commissions and boards and committees, all of these people working toward that common goal of growing Richland Center, and we're starting to see this stuff come to fruition.
When we were growing up, Todd, a lot of the perception was, well, nothing ever changes. You know, Richland Center is kind of that sleepy little town. But do you think perception about Richland Center from the outside has changed?
Absolutely has changed. And that's really what we needed to do. And that's why we're in a critical point if you're talking about economic growth here in the community. Yes, there were past mayors, past city councils, and so forth that really didn't want change here. Their goal, more than anything, seemed to be to not change the place they came from. And for a time, not so many years ago, economic development had actually been defunded. The city and the county couldn't get on the same page as to who should pay how much. And when they couldn't break it down, they tore it down. And they stopped funding economic development completely. And you saw the results. The community, unfortunately, had stagnated, and we had businesses leaving town, and there weren't new ones coming to replace them. And as our building inspector, who lives near Plain, he serves many small municipalities. The way he said it to me, he said, until these last few years when you've been mayor, Todd, I didn't have many reasons to drive to the west. He said, all my business was to the east. He said, not true anymore. I'm busy in Richland Center. And that's his way of saying he sees the effort, too. Yes, just the level, the volume of contacts we're getting now from builders that are willing to put up residential homes or apartments, and now potentially some retailers that wouldn't do these conversations, they weren't interested, that are now. Yes, there's been a change in perception of our city, and all of us have done a lot of work to get there.
You work closely with the city administrator. That's pretty important, if you have another term, I'm sure.
I do, and it is. And a key point here, when I first became the mayor, it didn't take me long at all to recognize a key flaw we had in the way our city government was being handled, and that is the mayor is the CEO of the city. That's state statute, which means the mayor's the boss down there. The problem is the way our city has it structured, the mayor position is part-time. It's called that. Word for word in the city budget, part-time mayor is what the council has approved and is paid accordingly. And so what we've had is whoever was mayor had to be employed, self-employed, retired, or, you know, something like that. And so a lot of times, to be honest, there wasn't a boss in the building because whoever the mayor was had to be other places and there wasn't an administrator. So I talked to some attorneys. They gave me some great advice. They said, you're either going to need a full-time mayor or you're going to need an administrator because someone has to be the boss and be in the building. And I agreed. I said, honestly, on behalf of our taxpayers, and I actually came on this show with Ron Frute at the time and articulated that exact thing, our need for that and why we needed it and the fact that we needed a full-time boss in the building. And I called a special session of the city council. It was explained to them by a labor attorney. The choices, you could go with a city administrator, a full-time mayor, or what's known as a city manager. And the city council at the time unanimously voted to pursue an administrator, which we added. And what that's done is it took a mountain of work off the mayor's desk. It made the mayor, it made it much more palatable to have a part-time mayor. It decreased the need to have a mayor in the building as much because you have an administrator, full-time salary and benefits, in the building every day. In addition to that, now that person, the administrator, now has oversight of personnel and the city budget, which took two huge categories of work and made that her primary responsibility, then working with the city council and its committees and working with the mayor, but they're her primary responsibilities, which is a huge fundamental shift. At the same time, what we did, so now we have the full-time administrator. Right before I got elected, 2 weeks before I became mayor, the city and the county jointly created the economic development director position in a job share agreement, and Jason Glassbrenner was hired into that role. And until about a year ago now, the city and the county shared that position, but at that point, the city made Jason a full-time city employee. So now in City Hall every day, we have an administrator with oversight of personnel in the budget, and we have an economic development director who can work on these projects as they come up and meet with these prospective project participants, whether it's a builder or what have you, engineers, whoever we need, which has streamlined a lot of processes and made things a lot easier to do. So we've improved processes and representation in City Hall. We've made it much easier to work with our city, and people are trying to do so.
And you work full-time job, so are there enough hours in the day to get your mayor stuff done as well?
Yeah, great question. I don't understand the question in a lot of respects, to tell you the truth, because I have as much time as I ever did, and I've been mayor for the last 4 years, and honestly, I'm blessed to say a lot of people in town have expressed their support for my work and the results that it has produced. I'm very grateful for that, and I don't have any less time than I ever did. In fact, you could say I have more for two reasons I just gave. We have a full-time administrator that we did not have when I was first elected. We have a full-time economic development director we did not have when I was first elected. And in my first few months in the role, I said to the city council, it's time for the city to get the mayor, what I call the mayor phone, a cell phone that's with me everywhere I go every day. And the reason for that, that people can call, text, email. They can work with me on their time. Okay, they can reach me during the day, they can reach me in the evening, and they can reach me on the weekend, and people do all of those things. So the way I've handled it, my day job, I don't work Monday, so all day Monday, I'm in the mayor's office, I'm there evenings by appointment, and I have the phone with me everywhere I go, so people can reach me, and it hasn't been a problem at all. I actually have more flexibility, a great deal more flexibility than I had when I first was elected because of the changes we've made. And this was the path, the choice the city council chose. They had the option to have a full-time mayor. They chose not to do that. They have a part-time mayor by their choosing. And just this last winter, this last December, when we were passing the city budget, it's some great news. The state had finally amended and improved its revenue share program, and the city got more money from the state than we've been receiving, and that allowed us the opportunity. We came into the city budget more than $150,000 below the state levy limit, which means we chose to leave more than $150,000 in the pockets of our taxpayers rather than using it for one project or another at the city. Now, at that time, the council was told that if they wanted to spend money on something else, the possibility was there. If there's something you want, say it now. We'll consider it. They could vote. They voted, and I agree with them, to not spend money, to let the taxpayers keep that money, because we know our people are dealing with the effects of inflation. So the council, again, could have said, we need a full-time mayor. Obviously, they didn't think we did. They didn't make a motion to do that. No one mentioned that. Things are moving just fine. We've got a line item in our city budget that says part-time mayor. That's what the council chose, and that's the way the system works.
Todd Copernell, our guest on The Morning Show. We'll be back with more in a moment. Our morning show continues on WRCO. Current mayor of the city of Richland Center, Todd Copernell, is with us. And as for equal time, Karen Tepley was our guest on the morning show last week. If you want to hear her comments, it's on last Wednesday's morning show. So, Todd, as we talk about your story, you grew up right here in the city of Richland Center, didn't you?
I did, and this is what led me to getting into public service. I was raised here in town, as my parents were. My dad's parents were, plenty extended family. family members have been. Long history. Dad's family came to the county in the 1850s, and my mom's parents moved here 70 years ago this year, and Grandpa was a county board member for 24 years, and Grandma was the president of the local AARP chapter, and they gave me the gift of the political bug, I guess you could say. But what really happened is through the years, you know, Dad and Grandpa had a barbershop downtown, and it was this close-knit place where I had so many friends and relatives. Well, I left home when I was 19. I went off to college at Winona State University, and over the next 29 years, I lived in six different communities, three in Minnesota, three in Wisconsin. And then I moved back here, moved home 8 years ago now. And when I moved home as an adult, everything was different compared to my childhood. I really saw the place. I really respected and understood the unique qualities of Richland Center. When I was a kid, raised here, it was just where I was from. I didn't realize it was unique. And then living other places, I did figure that out. And when I came back, what had occurred to me was, I can't separate who I am from where I am. It can't happen, because this is where my childhood memories took place. This is where all four of my grandparents are buried. This place lives in me. And that's why it matters. That's why I decided to put myself out there, get involved, surrender so much of my time. I work on my days off. I use my city, my job, personal time to meet, for example, when the governor comes or a senator comes, or just to do, you know, the Veterans Day assembly at the high school. Weekends, nights, I get it. It's a commitment that I took for a reason, with a purpose. I've never regretted it. I've loved being the mayor. It's an honor and a privilege. I think back, and the three things that really resonate in my head. I'm working to honor the city's past, to take care of its present, and to work on its possibilities. And I say, look back to the days when I was a kid, and the people running the city then, the mayor, the city council, the doctors, the business owners, the school teachers I had, all my role models, and what they stood for, and the things they taught me, that are with me every day, everywhere I go. And then come to today and the challenges of the current world, with all the changes we've seen in my life and technology coming in and having to deal with a pandemic and just the challenges that every small town faces. And then look into the possibilities of the future, which I've been articulating. And we've now come into a new phase of home builders wanting to participate, businesses wanting to participate. We've secured a commitment from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to resurface Highway 14 East now from Bowman Drive to County O. Another big deal for our community, which we realize how much it matters and is going to happen. All of that is because I have a passion, because this really is where I'm from. This really is where I'm going to be. It's not a job for me. It is an honor and a privilege to be the mayor of Richland Center, and fully committed to it, Phil. I mean, it's just one of those things. When you're doing this for the right reasons, it never leaves you. I think about Richland Center and what the city's doing every day, all the time. And my wife will tease me about it sometimes. And we could be out relaxing and enjoying whatever we're doing, and I'll just look around and say, hey, you know what we could do over there? You know, the city could get done. That's just part of who I am. And I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way.
And you want to see expansion in all areas of the city, I'm sure, not just out here on the Highway 14 corridor or any of those places.
Yeah, great point, Phil. You know, I do not and you cannot favor any particular segment of the town. So I've never said, you know, I believe in this part of the town or I'm working on that part of the town, because the point is we're working on the entire city all the time, and that's the way it's got to be. If you can get something good for the city in the North Industrial Park, get it. If you can get apartments on the west end of town, go get them. If you can get houses somewhere, do it. If it's something in the downtown, do that. Wherever it is. A win is a win. We will always be a small city in a small county, and we're the only small city in the small county, which means when it comes to economic development, growing the tax base, growing the quality of life, Richland Center is and always will be, must be, the leader of Richland County. It's what we live. So wherever you can get it, pursue it and get it done. And you look around town and you can see it. You can see the dialysis center, including the center pharmacy, and the TechCom building, including the credit union and Wacker Chiropractic down there on Orange Street. While I've been mayor, two new commercial structures built on lots that had been empty for years and years. We grew the tax base. We gave new homes to several new businesses. We also provided a critical health care need to locals who needed it. We kept going. We got new homes down in the Wedgwood neighborhood. Again, pristine building lots, residential building lots, flat as a board, with infrastructure in place. The street was in, the utility hookups were there, and for whatever reason, the homes never got built. And we went to work on that. There are now five new homes down there with new people living in town. Again, taxable structures that help every taxpayer we have. Keep going, looking around town. You see the new Dollar Tree store. They could have left town. They didn't. They believed in us. They built a new structure. You see the building that now houses Dunkin', AT&T, and TriStar Gifts. Another brand new built, taxable structure with three new businesses we didn't have. And you see the results coming. The new house under construction right now on First Street in a project the city was involved in. The Panorama apartments that are going to happen, 94 of them. There's a daycare where Lincoln Elementary was. There's going to be perhaps apartments or perhaps office suites in the Jefferson Elementary building. Kerry Norman bought it. He's working through the plan now. Again, those become taxable entities that weren't. They help every taxpayer, and they provide businesses and services that we've just got to have. You know, other things the city needed that we got. We got the police force added a canine unit while I've been mayor. A very big deal. Made them much more efficient. Has made our police force stronger. They're serving our people a little better than they could before. We added a high school police officer, the community resource officer in the Richland Center High School, in a joint effort with the Richland School District that they're paying the majority of, and it was done without raising taxes, and it's had immediate impact for the kids at school, for their parents, for the faculty. So there's big things and there's little things, and they all matter. Flashing crosswalk signs at major intersections in town to keep our people safe, that got done. Passing a city ordinance so that the school bus drivers could deploy their stop signs in town, that actually was not allowed by state statute without a local ordinance. We got that done. That came when I was an older person. We used to have alternate side parking 5 months out of the winter. With the snow we don't get, it's not necessary anymore. We shortened that to 3 months out of the year. Less hassle for our people and our police. It hasn't impacted the street department at all. That got done. You look back and you go, there's big ways and there's little ways, and every one of them matter. And I'm proud of the work. It's not just me. I'm proud of what I've done. I'm proud of the city council, the city employees, the committees, commissions, and boards, because if any of those steps, any link in the chain breaks down, these things don't get done. We have a strong team, we have strong participants, and we're getting solid results.
As a mayor, you do not have to declare a political party, you know, and does that help you when you're working with state senators and representatives across the area?
It does, and what a gift. That's a really great question, Phil. I'm glad you asked that. So I've been lucky while I've been mayor. I've had time with Governor Evers, who's a Democrat, with Senator Tammy Baldwin, who's a Democrat, Ron Kind, that's when I was an older person, who was, of course, a Democrat. Now on the other side of the aisle, frequent interaction with Howard Markline, who's a Republican, Tony Kurtz, who's a Republican. I met with Tommy Thompson, a very well-known Republican, when he was the president of the UW system. And now Derek Van Orden, who, by the way, just helped Richland Center, and Tammy Baldwin did too. If you didn't notice yet, that's one Republican and one Democrat, helped this city secure a $2.5 million grant to get utility infrastructure into the land that the hospital bought, so that when the time comes, a hospital gets built. We've got a big step forward to make that much easier to do. So my point there, I've been able to meet with the elected officials that are Republicans and Democrats, but I can also do that with our local people who claim to be one or the other. And I have no problem interacting with either group or with independents, because I've never seen myself as a representative of Republicans, Democrats, or independents. I've seen myself as a representative of everyone who lives in this city, and I haven't let any particular segment of our population be cut out of the city conversation, and I never will, because there are only 5,100 of us. We are not big enough to choose sides and fight, right? Mm-hmm. So I have felt welcomed by Republicans and Democrats, and I have welcomed them back, and as well as the independents. I think that's the only way the mayor should do things.
When somebody asks you your platform, Todd, what do you respond?
The point is continued effort on economic development. It just can't be any other way. I mentioned we're the only small city in a small county. We've got to lead the way, and for so long, That's what didn't come to Richland Center. Honestly, city leadership hadn't made it enough of a priority too many times. You know, let's not bring change, or that might cost money, or whatever the issue was at the time. And honestly, as so many people will tell you, there were times when the city missed opportunities doing things that way. And at times it felt like the local economy had slid backwards instead of growing forward. So never, ever take your eye off economic development. Make it easier for local businesses to work with the city. Make it easier for new businesses to join us. And always look for that opportunity to add homes, because obviously in the end, you've got to have people. That's the most important resource you'll ever have, are the people who live here. Well, if we don't provide a place to live here so often, way too often, the people who are working in the businesses in Richland Center are commuting from some other town that did have available homes. And that just makes me crazy. We're growing the tax base of all of our neighbors. So that's why you go get 94 apartments when you can. That's why you talk about 23 houses when you can. That's why you always work on the next one. Because that, in turn, that population growth and that commitment to building is what then, in turn, attracts the retail business and says, boy, I want to be there. There's more going on than there used to be. We can make a living over there. And then they join the party. All of that is like a wheel. Every one of those successful projects being completed and more net new construction getting on the books, it helps the taxpayers again and again. It helps the school district attract more kids. And each kid in the school district brings about $13,000 a year in state aid that doesn't have to come from our people. You know, the sales tax collection goes up and that goes to the county and helps them balance their budget. All of these things are touched by economic development in the city of Richland Center. That's been my main priority the entire time I've been mayor. It's going to remain my main priority if the people choose to keep me for a third term.
With additional housing, apartments and that kind of thing, is it more attractive to a possible grocery store coming in or a retail store or anything like that? You know, I mean, the population numbers could help, right?
Are you trying to lead the conversation, Mr.
No.
No, I'll tell you what. Yes. And that's the statement I just made a minute ago. Yes. When a retailer, we'll just leave it wide open, any category, when they see effort from the city, that's a key point. They want to know that the community leaders are trying to grow, because they're trying to forecast and project. If they invest sometimes millions of dollars, oftentimes millions of dollars, to build something new, lease something and stock it and shelve it and everything else, is that going to be, will they get a strong return on investment? Will they make money there? Well, when you looked at Richland Center and you saw the population barely bigger than it was in 1970, that was a turnoff. They know, geez, that place isn't growing. Why would I think it ever will? So I have to work with the numbers they have right now. It's not big enough, not enough traffic count. I don't know. That's changing. They know that we've got these apartments on the way and some of these other things I've talked about. Some of them have already had representatives in town and looked the town over and came away with favorable impressions and favorable reports to the boss back home. So, yeah, the residential construction does attract commercial construction or leasing. It does bring new businesses. It's a cycle. One feeds the other. And we're fortunate right now that opportunities are out there on both sides of the aisle. We do have home builders interested, and we now do have some retailers interested. It's just now the process of working through the deals and the possibilities and getting as many done as you can. And then the next cycle comes, whoever's next out there sees that, it gets their attention. You know, conversely, when that wasn't a focus in the past for city leadership, when growth didn't happen, when businesses left, well, that was the image that was going out to corporate America and to builders, and they saw contraction and they saw stagnation, and naturally they said, well, let's go over somewhere else where there's some action. We've changed the narrative. There's no question of that, none at all. We've changed the narrative. We're getting attention we hadn't been getting. That's taken a lot of work, and it's bringing opportunities now, Phil.
So, in closing, you'd like to make sure that everybody gets out and votes on April 2nd, I'm sure.
So, one of the great things about living in the greatest country in the world, which we happen to live in, is the right to vote. And through the generations, many now, so many men and women have fought for the right to vote and preserved it for all of us. It should never be ignored. It should never be taken for granted. It's one of the great separators. If you want to live in China, that's available if you care to cross the ocean. I don't. We get to choose our elected representatives. That's awesome. I love it. The concept of elections and the people's voice being heard, I just love it. And here we are. So there are multiple candidates. That's a blessing. It's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. The people get to listen, think, and decide for themselves and get out and choose. And what I'm hoping for and what I'm asking everybody to do, April 2nd is the election. Get out and vote. Exercise your right and let your voice be heard, and then we'll all get on with it. Yes, I'm asking for your vote April 2nd. Absolutely. Thank you for everyone who has expressed support. I'll never forget it. I'm hoping to win again, but whatever the outcome, I'm hoping more than anything that the people listening to me get out, use your right to vote, let your voice be heard, and let's keep moving.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us today, Todd.
Thanks, Phil. It's my pleasure.
Todd Copperdell joining us here on WRCO's Morning Show.